with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's a Monday, so that means Jim Traber will join us at 9:30. There's all kinds of topics to ask him about, so we'll get into those as Jim joins us at 9:30. A local guy did some good stuff over the weekend on the Corn Ferry Tour. Tell you who that is and then what his schedule will look like coming up after over the next couple of weeks. More golf, Tumbleweed Twosome, the annual Tumbleweed Twosome. Gosh, this has got to be 25 of these out at Elk City Golf and Country Club. 72 couples showed up and played, and I have the results right here in my fingertips.
Awesome.
Of who the winners were. So, good stuff there.
That is good stuff.
And then we'll see what Jared did this weekend. How was his weekend? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area one of these days and you want to stay in touch with us live, a couple of ways to do that. Log on to KADSAM.com or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News there. A brand new edition will hit the Penny News later on this week. Online at thepennynews.com. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News anywhere around the area where it is held. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV are also in the app. Man, we are inside of 2 weeks from the debut of Elk City and then Hollis on Paragon TV. August the 26th, so a week from Friday, Friday Night Lights are back. We'll be able to I actually tell you a little bit about what I did on Saturday coming up. I was out there for just a little bit, yeah. Seeing the Big Elks for the first time. Everybody will get a chance to do that Friday. Scrimmage, El Reno in town. Middle school at 5, high school at 6 to 6:15, something like that, with the varsity and the JV. So you can go on out to Big Elk Stadium and check out your first look at this year's edition of the Elks coming up on Friday. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can find us that way and go back and listen to what we had to say on any particular topic. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. All things considered, it's Monday. But I'm good as I can be. I'm anxious to find out how that went Saturday.
Yeah, I was out there for a little bit. It was picture day. And then the high school team took their pictures in their, you know, game unis. Then went and changed. And I saw some special teams work. Saw some just man-to-man who's can move the other one out of the way. Drills with linemen or with, you know, linebackers and running backs, or if it was secondary and receivers, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They just got head up, fired off into each other, and who could move the other one back.
Seeing if that weight room just is working.
Let's see
for
what,
him. Yeah, let's see.
I thought it was pretty awesome. They went, you know, different guys going at it, you know, all down the line. They'd have three different stations in between the bags, you know, and these guys would go, and they winner was declared. These guys would go, and these, you know, that went.
Okay.
It went on for a while. And then toward the end, you know, I was just, it, like, made the, like, hair on my arm stand up. Coach Maynard stopped everybody, and he said, I hear that four of the baddest linemen in the state are here right now.
Hmm.
He said, I don't care about who's the baddest lineman in the state. I care about who's the baddest one on this field right now. And so, he, you know, those four guys went head up and Logan Trevino ended up being the winner. So I think it was Logan and Trace Decker and Gage Eastman and Aiden Long were the four, I think. I know three of – I think it was Trace. I didn't hear. I couldn't tell, you know, number-wise, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, they all went at it. I mean, it was –
that's
everybody
fun,
was fired up. I mean, all the other players watching. And
yeah,
by that time – I mean, first off, there was – I mean, a crowd out there watching.
Well, there's a buzz. There is a buzz right now about this team.
And by the time that part of that drill got to, there was a lot of fans out to get it. Because the way it was, you know, the players were kind of circled around the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to see unless you got right out there in it. And a lot of people did. And, I mean, it'll get you fired up. There's no doubt about
that.
That's
awesome.
And they started some offensive drills. I did see them. Like the quarterbacks and running backs and I guess you call them wing backs, kind of whatever, kind of going through their stuff. And sure enough, it's exactly what we had heard. You know, you've got kind of the Altus offense, mm-hmm. you know, Air Force,
Veer,
yep. all that kind of stuff. That's what it's going to be. So exciting to kind of get a glimpse. And then, of course, you know, can't wait for Friday to see it live and in person against somebody else. And that scrimmage against El Reno.
Yeah. Yeah, and here we are 11 days from kickoff against Altus, mentioned Altus. So, yeah, very excited. We've been working a lot behind the scenes getting Big Elk TV ready. So it should be a lot of fun.
What else you do this weekend?
Oh, man. I turned into a kind of a busier-than-expected weekend. Took care of the lawn. I took the girls fishing. That was a lot of fishing pictures. A lot of fun for him. Katie, you know, is catch and release. We didn't keep anything. But as far as size and weight and length is concerned, Katie was the winner. She brought in nice largemouth bass about the size of her thigh, maybe bigger, and had a lot of fun there. Dealt with the – I mean, we waited till later in the afternoon because the place we go has a lot of trees. So we thought, okay, if we wait late in the afternoon, we get some shade. It was still a little warm, but it was still a lot of fun. They were biting. And yesterday, a lot of – I'm involved with both of the 8U and 10U teams, so we had back-to-back practices in the barn. Talk about warm. A little steamy. It's not bad for the girls when they're in there at 15 to 20 minutes at a time, but when I was in there for 3-plus hours, it gets a little toasty. But that was it. Nothing major. Just, you know, got a lot done. And still didn't get everything that I wanted to get done. So that was about it. Watched a little Cowboy football Saturday night. And everyone's freaking out because they lost a preseason game. I was at an establishment watching it with some other friends. And they're like, hey, Jared, your America's team is losing. Like, it's a scrimmage. It's preseason. Why do people do that?
Having said that, I was being funny, but... I proclaim Neville Gallimore an all-pro after the very first play.
Yeah. I was late to the party. I actually forgot that it was on, and then I happened to be at this place with a bunch of TVs, and for some reason it was on the Food Network, and I asked them politely if they could change it to maybe a game. And they said, oh, yeah, here's the remote. You can change it.
So then I
turned it on over there, knowing that, well, I probably missed out on any kind of starters that are playing after the first series.
Yeah, he looked like Tommy Harrison his first snap at OU. Just got right back there, like 4-yard loss.
Yeah.
All pro. I don't think he made another tackle, but
what does that matter? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. That sounds like fun. After watching the practice, we actually went to Amarillo for the day.
You went west.
Yes. I got to tell you, it was fun. We ate at a couple of different places. I would highly recommend both. One was burgers.
Was the occasion just to go?
Yeah.
Or nothing involved, just let's go that way? Let's
just go hang out. We played a little golf Saturday afternoon at a place called Palo Duro Creek.
That already sounds, is it near the canyon there?
It's in Canyon, just as you get into Canyon, coming from Amarillo.
Okay.
It's on I would assume probably the northeast side of town. It's right there on the highway. You can see it to your west as you go on the highway. It was really fun. It was a nice golf course. It wasn't overly difficult. It was just exactly what we were looking for. So that was fun. We ate the first meal was burgers at. Have you ever eaten at the Coyote Bluff Cafe?
No.
Ever heard of it?
No.
I had seen this before on Man vs. Food.
Okay.
So Adam, was it Richmond, I think was his name? He was the one that would go and take these food challenges.
Right.
Like across the street here. What is that called? The Big Kahuna or something like that?
Yeah.
So he would do that. Well, he went to his very first show ever was in Amarillo at, guess where? The Big Texan.
Of course.
To try to eat that steak. But as he's doing that, he also featured some other places around town, and he happened to go to this one. And the reason is they have a burger, and it is called the Burger from Hell.
Oh, my.
And when you read it, it is it's a burger with cheese, and then it also has fresh sautéed jalapeno.
Okay.
It's got Tabasco, and then it's got something called Hell Sauce.
Hell no.
I watched a guy eat it.
That's already giving me heartburn.
Listen, I watched a guy eat this thing, and he actually wanted... Well, I think it was that, but he asked him for some extra hell sauce. And it comes out, I mean, it looks like it's about to melt. He wanted extra, and it came in one of those little bitty, you know, like you get at the softball field or the baseball field out here, it's like the pickle juice popper thing.
Uh-huh.
It came in a container just like that, the plastic.
With the top on?
It didn't have a top, but okay. It could have. And it looked like it was about to just burn holes in that. It looked so hot to me from just across. And by the time he got done, he was asking for another cold cerveza and more water because his eyes were watering.
Yeah.
You could tell his nose was running.
For a glass of milk, maybe.
I thought to myself, why?
Why make
why would
food
you do that?
Painful? Yeah. Why?
I had a green chili cheeseburger.
No, that it doesn't sound bad.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
It had just a little bit of bite, but it had the great flavor
that's
of the
want. Yeah.
Like the Hatch green chilies or what have mm-hmm. you. It was delicious, and I highly recommend. It was very, very good. My wife had one with mushrooms and Swiss. We had some chili cheese fries. I mean, it was fantastic. Played golf, and then went to a place called Joe's Tacos downtown. It's right next to, you know, it's similar to Bricktown,
mm-hmm.
where they have the sod poodles. Did you know that was the minor league team in Amarillo?
I love the name already. That's
affiliated,
cool.
They're affiliated with the Diamondbacks.
Sod Poodles.
I think they're the AA. The Amarillo Sod Poodles.
They got a beautiful stadium, I
it's
know.
It's right there. And
yeah.
This place was dead across the street. It was
cool.
Just a taco shop, and they were great tacos. It was fun. So that's what we did on Saturday. Played golf with Possum yesterday. Watched him hacking around, hurt himself.
Yeah, someone texted in to me saying they saw you out at Sarah National.
Yes, that's where we were. There was the... And the reason why we were there is because of the tumbleweed twosome.
Yeah.
72 couples.
That's a lot.
2 days, 72 couples. Can you imagine the economic impact in the city of Elk City with all the hotel rooms that are rented with 72 couples? Because a majority of these are from out of town.
I'd imagine. I have a question. Give me the results, but I have a question about all this afterwards.
Okay. So in the championship flight, the winners were Elk Cityites. Keegan and Kinsley Hall, the brother-sister duo. They shot 111, which is 55-56. That's 31 under par. I'm wondering how in the world somebody that weighs at maximum 120 pounds can carry around somebody that weighs at minimum, I'm going to say 220, for 2 days. But apparently that's what Kinsley did. From the reports I got, she made 5 or 6 birdies on her own yesterday. So just pretty well had old big brother saddled up on her back and just carried him around the golf course.
Doesn't matter how big or small you are.
From
what? How you hit it, how you strike
right.
it. Yeah.
So they were the winners. Dylan Miller and Megan Blanion were second, 3 shots back at 114. Joby and Haley Gray, another few back at 118. David and Rachel Poole were fourth in championship flight 119. Now in AA flight, which is just the next one down, got a father-daughter winner, Wes and Tasha Tasha Marshall, 125. Tasha, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know her very well.
Absolutely, Clintonite.
Mm-hmm.
Wes and Tasha win with 125, 64, 61. Newlyweds, Kyle and Kelsey Stevens, 126, 1 shot back, 66, 60. Callan Nichols, Tana Jordan were third at 127. Down in A flight, there was a tie. I wonder if they played this off. Bill and Anna Pasco and Tony and Melissa Dibbler. Tony and Melissa Tulsa, they've been coming forever. Both shot 134. And then another tie for third in Ann and Cooper Cowan, which shout out to Ann. She is a huge part of putting this thing on each and every year. They are third, tied at 136 with Joe Audie and Kelsey Edwards, 136 as well. B flight, there was a tie. Monty and Patty Lorenz win at 141. Greg and Renee Dotson were the other team tied there at 141. And then probably our favorite team here on the show, Tyler Harrison and my sister, Ashley Morris.
Okay.
With a 142.
Thought that was what those pictures were about.
Yeah,
okay.
73-69. They got third, and then Wolfie. I think Wolfie. I couldn't. Derek Wolf and Brenda. He's Kingfisher guy. 75-68. No reports of whether or not he had to empty his pockets of sand after his 68 on Sunday. I'm not sure if that happened or not, but they got fourth in B flight, I think. There was a tie there, and I couldn't tell from the scoreboard. And then C flight. Hey, you know what the C stood for in this one? Clinton.
Oh, really?
Robert and is it Shanda Shepherd? Robert Shepherd, Shanda, 144. They were the winners. Jason Hewlett, another Clintonite, and his partner Melissa, 145. Andy and Aaron Davis at 146. Rob and Chanel Brott, also at 146. They were fourth. D flight, another show favorite. Joe Wynn. Joe Wynn and Ramona. 150, 78-72. They won, and I believe he said they got second in the other deal. So they're 150. Nick and Julie Linnaeus, we know them. 151, they were second. Rain and Michelle Roser, 152. And then Scott and Pam Delaney, 154. That was D-Flight. And then finally E-Flight, three-way tie at the top. And Daryl and Debbie Dunn are the winners at 161. Carnsey and Andrea, 161. Also, Randy and Trish Ludwig, 161. And then Steven and Ashley Smitherman were fourth in E-Flight at 166. So I know it was a fun time. Guaranteed fun times were had by all.
Absolutely. So you say twosome, when you say couple, I keep thinking it's a married couple. You mentioned brother, sister. You got friends that are.
Yes.
Okay. I just wondered how many married couple it would spurn arguments. And he's like, you always do this. You always tell me to use this club. You're wrong. Just any yelling, you see any of that out there?
I wasn't there.
Are you hearing about any reports of that?
Oh, no doubt.
It happens every year.
There's times where marriages are tested.
Well, you talk about economic impact. How many lawyers were called? I'm kidding. Sounded like a lot of fun. I saw a few pictures from out there.
Yeah, it was. It appeared maybe even our boss got in on some of this, trying to have matching clothes.
I did see that.
Did you see this? And then another couple had the exact same matching clothes.
Okay.
Two others. One had the shirts. One of them had the shirts and then a skirt that was the same.
Was there a sale at?
There must have been
Golf
a sale
Galaxy
at
or something.
Some kind of website.
Website, yeah. Wow.
MatchingGolfClothes.com. So I thought that was pretty funny that three of them ended up with the exact same matching clothes.
That is funny. That's funny.
No reports of whether or not Amber ordered it for everybody. I know it was fun.
That's fun.
All right, we're going to keep on with golf here for just a second. When we come back, a local guy.
Yeah, you kind of talked about this Friday. Anxious to hear how that happened.
Yeah, I'll tell you how Quade Cummins did, whether or not he secured his Korn Ferry Tour card, and then what to look ahead for in the next couple of weeks for him. Also, the FedEx Cup, Cam Smith penalty. Did you see any of this?
No, I missed it.
Jim Traber coming up in the next segment. But first, we'll talk a little bit more golf. This of the professional variety. Weatherford's Quade Cummins went into this week's Korn Ferry Tour event. And was this one at Omaha? Anyhow, in 67th place on the Korn Ferry Tour points list. Here's how this works. The top 25 automatically get PGA Tour cards. But 26 to 75 secure their Korn Ferry Tour cards for next year and then also qualify for the next 3 weeks of what's called the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. And here's how those fields are comprised. You've got the 25 that have made it. They continue on through the finals because they can earn better status by being in the top 25 of the finals, because here's when the fields are built next year, they kind of alternate between the 25 that made it on the regular season and then the 25, you know, depending on what the event. So they kind of go back and forth, ping pong back and forth from those lists. But if you're on both lists, then you never get ping ponged. You know what I'm saying? So the guys in the top 25 at the end of the regular season after this week, this last, well, after yesterday, they can also be in the top 25 of the finals, and then they're always kind of there on those lists. So anyway, that's how that works. But so it'll be those 25. It'll be 26 through 75 on the Korn Ferry Tour list. And then it's also from the PGA Tour, numbers 126. If the playoffs started this week, the top 125 made it. So 126 through 200 on the FedEx Cup list play in the finals. It's kind. This is essentially Q school, kind of, but not really.
Okay.
Because it's 3 weeks of tournaments. But yeah, Quaid ended up 69th on the list of the Korn Ferry Tour, so he automatically earns his Korn Ferry card for next year. So that gives him a place to play for sure. And now, 3 weeks worth of tournaments they'll play this week at Boise, the following week at Ohio State's course, and then the finals, the Tour Championship is in Indiana. And there's those three tournaments also have points. And at the end of the three tournaments, the top 25 in those three events total will also earn PGA Tour cards. So at worst, Quaid's got a Korn Ferry Tour card. At best, after these three events, he could have a PGA Tour card. And then if you happen to win this last three tournament series, where did that go? Oh, I just had it. You're fully exempt on the PGA Tour. You get a spot in the Players Championship, and you also get a spot in the U.S. Open next year. Yeah, the cumulative winner of the 25 will earn fully exempt tour status, spot in the Players, and then new for 2023, so the first time this has happened, also earn a spot in the U.S. Open. So congrats to Quaid on knowing, that's got to be a relief, knowing where, you know, at worst case scenario, where you're going to be for next year.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of one of those things where, you know, a lot of the pressure is off. Just go freewheel it and see if you can't figure out a way to get in the top 25 and on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it loosens you up when you don't have all that pressure on you. But yeah, congratulations to him.
All right, so
he's been steadily working at this. And
he
got
has
a feeling that we might see him play at a higher level, pretty soon. At the way he's playing.
Yeah, it's a lot of times, you know, we might even see him in this fall series on the PGA Tour because, you know, you've got chances at sponsors exemptions throughout the year, but it was hard for him to take one of those because of how important the points list was on the Korn Ferry. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He never got himself where he probably would have felt completely comfortable that he was for sure in the top 75. So that, you know, then you don't worry about missing a week, you know. And then also there's always the chance of playing great 1 week on the Korn Ferry and getting yourself up into that top 25 for a card. So, you know, I think now as the PGA Tour starts again after the playoffs with these few tournaments in the fall, then that's where it kind of gives him a better chance of maybe to use one of those before the season gets started and whatnot if he can't make it into the top 25 here at the finals. But yeah, really cool. And you're right, he's kind of climbing the stair steps up the ladder there, and hopefully the eventual goal of a PGA Tour card will come to fruition.
Right.
And there's every reason to think that it will. Okay, so I mentioned the Cam Smith penalty. You didn't see this?
I didn't see it. I didn't realize what was going on.
They were at Memphis for the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
And on Saturday, on number four, he hit his tee shot. It's a par three. He hit it left into the water. Well, he drops it, chips it up, gets up and down, makes a four, and goes on. Then Sunday, the next day, mind you, when he gets to the golf course, the PGA Tour officials are like, hey, you need to come into the rules trailer. And so he does, and they discuss. I guess one of the rules officials was watching the coverage, a replay of the coverage, sees the drop and starts to question whether or not he dropped it in play. And to Cam's credit, when they ask him if his ball was touching the red line, I mean, you could clearly see it. It was hard to tell if it was from the angle, but you knew it was close. And he said, oh, yeah, it was touching. I thought that just most of the ball had to be in play, and turns out that's not the rule. If any of the ball is touching that red line, then it's a penalty. So they give him a two-shot penalty, essentially for signing the wrong scorecard. And he starts out two shots worse on Sunday. Listen. Does this happen if Cam Smith wasn't reportedly heading to LIV Golf?
There are a lot of questions, but that's the first one that comes to mind. Is were they looking at him, especially looking at him every stroke, every shot, everything he did to find something like that? And then they found this, and what's so odd, they found it and they penalized him a day later. It makes you the conspiracy theories will come out. It makes you think they knew he did what he did and they waited for him to sign that card and then go get him right before he was going to tee off on yesterday. The other questions that come to mind are, well, what the heck were they doing during play on Saturday?
Exactly.
I mean, this is a major, not a major, but a big tournament, a PGA event. You would think that rules officials are looking at everybody, not just him, but everybody. Make sure that they're all playing within inside of the rules of the game. And it's a little embarrassing on the PGA side. You went back. What were you doing during the game or during the play? You go back and watch, and where were you on Saturday?
Yeah, you wonder when is too late. Because here's a question.
Yeah, it's like a statute of limitation. Sorry, you guys, you waited too long to rule on it.
What about if this was today? What about if he won the golf tournament?
Well, yeah, what if this happened on a Sunday? And then
are they going to go back today and penalize him and say, oh, never mind, you thought you won by a shot. Instead, you got third?
Right. It's embarrassing. And I feel a little sorry for Cam Smith because it does feel like he was singled out here.
It really kind of – it has to – that thought has to come in your mind, how much of this has to do with LIV Golf. And so, ultimately, it's his job to know the rules.
Right.
But this seems a little fishy in the timing of it and with everything that happened. Yeah, on the text line, didn't Scottie Scheffler walk right in his line? He did not walk in his line. He did walk in between. Cam was bent down to read a putt, and Scheffler walked in between Cam and the marker. He didn't walk in between the marker and the hole, but he did walk in between Cam and the marker, which was clearly petty and clearly, I mean, there's animosity from these PGA Tour guys that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Part of it's because they don't agree, but now when you bring in the fact that the 11 guys on the LIV Tour sued them mm-hmm. as the tour, this is just getting cranked up. And hot take, maybe even an unpopular opinion alert here, I think it's great for the game of golf.
Well, it just goes back to my WCW.
That's right.
WWE comparison. You're going to see a lot of pettiness, I think, between now and whenever this all settles down.
Oh, 100%. 100% agree. Because what makes sports go? Rivalries.
Yes!
No, none better than LIV Golf versus PGA Tour, yeah. Maybe. Joining us now is the voice that you will hear at 2 o'clock right on these airwaves. He is the ultimate Jim Traber. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good. It's getting kind of creeping closer. We were just talking 11 days till high school football starts, and our weeks get shorter, it feels like, with those games on Friday. But it's in the air.
Elk City? The Elk's going to be any good this year?
Man, that is up in the air. It's a new coach. The other one, the coach that kind of got everybody back on a good foundation, retired. This guy was the defensive coordinator last year. We've got a lot of the linemen back, skill positions not so much. So some young guys are going to have to step up and carry the ball and catch the ball and throw the ball. But for me, I think I'd rather have linemen back and not have skill guys than vice versa.
Well, yeah, obviously you'd like to have all of them back, but yeah, no, the foundation of your team is in the line. I mean, on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's that simple. You know, if you're good on offensive and defensive lines, that's where I think that the offensive line is as good at OSU as I'm hearing, as some of the things I'm hearing. We know their defensive line is going to be one of the best in the country, so that should make OSU fans very happy. But yeah, you got to have the foundation. Hopefully, the Elks will continue after a great year last year.
Yeah, semifinals last year, and just kind of keep on adding. I'll stay there with OSU because. I wonder, I saw a list last week, and ESPN writer Bill Conley had the 25 most important players in the country to the playoff. And they did not have Spencer Sanders on that list. And to me, he has to be one of the top 25 most important players in the entire country, because it feels like how he goes will determine just how far the Cowboys are able to go.
Well, that's that lack of respect for Oklahoma State. I mean, I think that what somebody listed the top quarterbacks in the country and had Spencer Sanders 37. He was a daggone, like it or not, he was a Big Ten quarterback last year. He was all Big 12. So 37 is just one of the stupid. Does that mean that like the SEC has like 10 quarterbacks better than him? So I just, you know, OSU never gets respect. You know that. They don't. Now, I will say this. I get sick and tired of hearing the OSU fans crying like babies about, you know, we weren't on the top of the newspaper. You didn't lead with us. You know what? OSU, you need to realize that, obviously, OU is the bigger program. There's more fans. There's more people. It's the way it is. But I think that everybody, you know, OSU, if you win, you'll get a lot more respect, right? I know one thing. We led with them after they beat Notre Dame. So, yeah, just go win. And the Spencer Sanders thing to me is I don't know if he does deserve a lot of respect. I know that sounds stupid because I'm kind of contradicting myself because he won the Big 12 quarterback last year, but I think that might have been because, you know, default a little bit. You know, if Caleb Williams would have played all year long, he probably would have won it. So, OSU and the quarterback and all that stuff, they got to be ready to play. They got three games to start the season that they definitely should win. And then they crank it up right away, fellas. They start playing Baylor and some teams that are good. So I'm looking forward to it. I really think that, you know, the key for OSU is nowadays, can they follow up on a great season with another great season? You know, are they that good? I don't know the answer to that. But we'll see, because they're going to have their chance. They got to go to Baylor. They got to go to OU. Can they win either one of those games on the road? I don't know. But I like what they're doing. I think that they still got a lot of work to do to become that elite program, though.
With regards to Sanders, we've seen this, I think maybe the Kyler Murray year at OU. One of the things that makes him so tough when he's on is his ability to run the football. And with the kind of a young, inexperienced running back room anyway, you want him to use his legs, but at the same time, the lack of experience at the backup quarterback spot, does that put a little bit of a harness with the play calling and the aggressiveness of using Spencer Sanders' legs? Because we saw in that second half against Notre Dame, when he can run the ball, it opens up the pass, and they become almost unstoppable.
I'll tell you this, Skinny. This is a question that we have pondered for years and years and years, and I'll say the same thing I always have. You never worry about getting somebody hurt. You just go play. If he gets hurt, then you had bad luck. I don't care if, you know, their backup quarterback is a defensive back. I don't care. Play. Go do what you got to do to win. Now, early in the season when you're playing teams that aren't that good, you know, you might dial it back a little bit. But when you crank it up with Baylor, you better have the dude doing the best things that he can do. And, if you don't run him, then he's not the best player that he can be. You're right, that Notre Dame game. Between his running and not throwing the ball to the other team, that was impressive. So I think you don't worry about that. I think you get after it.
Do you anticipate them playing with the pace that we saw that day? I remember there being a promo where you talked about how you kind of take the thinking out of it a little bit by going at that breakneck pace. Do you think that's something that they can sustain throughout the year and even lean on a little bit of the defensive line if they do turn it over a little bit?
Once again, I'll say the same thing. You got to do what you're best at. And there is no doubt in my mind, if you watch that Notre Dame game, Spencer Sanders, when he doesn't have to think a lot, and again, I'm not calling him stupid, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not a cut on him. This is just what he is good at. And he's the best at doing what we saw against Notre Dame. So, yes, I think you got to play fast. I think you got to let him do what he does. And if they do that, I think that they're going to be really good. I don't know how good. We'll see. I think the Big 12 is wide open. I really do. I think OSU could win it. I mean, I don't want to say that Texas could win it, but you never know if that kid's really good at quarterback. So this thing's wide open. OSU has a chance. There's no doubt in my mind. My guess is, I'd probably lean towards OU to win it. And a lot of people just love Baylor. I guess, they won it last year. We'll see if they can do it again. But OSU's got a chance, fellas. They really do. And I love their defensive line. I'm hearing some incredible things I frankly think they might have the best wide receiver room in the whole country. I mean, if they're not, they're top five for sure. These young kids are unbelievable. The Shetron kid, I hear unbelievable things about. And then the younger Presley, I mean, I hear you can't bring him down. I mean, people can't even tackle him. People are having a hard time getting a hand on him. So they're going to have a bunch of dudes that can catch it if he throws it to them. The running backs, Skinny, I know everybody's all – I look at it as I did last – remember last year at this time how everybody was crying about OU's running back room?
Right.
What's going to happen if they get to the third guy? It doesn't happen. Let me tell you something. If you're getting to your third string guy in an important position, you're probably in trouble, right? I mean, no matter where you are. Ohio State, Alabama, you don't want your third team guy playing at running back or quarterback. So I think they'll be fine at running back. Are they going to be great? Do they have somebody as good as Warren? Doesn't look like it. A year ago, we knew nothing about Warren, right?
Right.
We didn't know anything about him. Now he's playing for my Pittsburgh Steelers and looking good. So I don't know. I think they'll be fine at running back. I really do. I have no problem with their running back room. I think their offense is going to be good. And I think their defensive line is going to be good. It's going to be all about their back seven on defense, That's going to be the whole key.
Yeah, it almost feels a little bit like the OSU of old strike, except for last year, in that early on, and maybe even all the way up to the Baylor game on the road, because of what they have on offense, maybe that's going to have to be the way that they carry through some tight spots, similar to how the defense was able to do it early on last year.
Yeah. I think I might have said this on the show with you guys earlier, but their defense last year was great. Everybody, every OU fan, everybody has to admit, they had a great defense. But this year I think they're just going to be good, which is good enough in this league, right? I mean, if Spencer Sanders plays the way he can and they utilize, I didn't like their play calling. You guys know I hated their play calling in that daggone Big 12 championship game. I just thought it was you're scared to death of your quarterback because he's thrown four interceptions, but I still think, with a guy like that, how you don't run a little option down on the goal line or something, I just thought it was ridiculous. But I guess hindsight's 20/20. Although, as you guys know, I'd say that before the game.
Right.
But anyway, I think their offense is going to be good. I think their defensive line's really good. I will tell you this, too, guys. Those two corners back there, we saw some of them last year. I think both of them are really good. So we'll see. I mean, the league is going to be kind of tough at the top. I think the bottom is not very good at all. So you got to beat the bottom teams. You can't do like Texas last year and lose to Kansas. And then you got to fight with these other big boys. But the problem, again, is for OSU is they got to go to Oklahoma and to Baylor. So that's going to be really, really tough for them.
Yeah, and K-State. If you think there's kind of five in the top part of the league and five in the bottom part of the league with Texas, OU, Baylor, OSU, and K-State, they've got three of those four on the road.
Good point.
Exactly the difference than OU. OU has three of those four at home.
Exactly. No, it's a good point. And that's probably the number one reason why I'm going to pick OU to win the league. I think that on a neutral field, I think if OU and OSU played each other, I might go 6-4 OU. I think OU's better than they are. But it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard to beat them in Norman. It just is. It's going to be hard to beat them.
We should have had you on Wednesday because that's when we're doing our college football preview show all hour on Wednesday. Hey, let's talk
NFL. Really?
Yeah, do you do anything like that? Do you do? I know you do your baseball preview show.
I just
show.
Do it informally. Informally, I do it. Me and Matt Ravis and I will kind of look at, pick the stuff. You know, I don't do it as like a big show or anything. But yeah, we'll talk about it and talk about some of the other leagues and what I think's going to get there. I got to tell you, this is going to blow y'all's mind. I think Alabama might have their best team under the same.
Man,
I'm serious.
Well, they were rebuilding last year, so they better be better.
I know. Isn't that beautiful? Rebuilding. But you know what? He wasn't lying. I mean, they were good, but I know people can't stand Nick Saban, especially around here, but I think he was right. I think this Alabama team this year is going to be even better than they normally are.
I actually think for the first time in my lifetime, I think there's a legitimate chance a defensive guy will be at the top of the Heisman with Will Anderson.
I hope so. Anderson's the one.
Yes.
The problem is, Skinny, is though you got these two quarterbacks that are going to light it up. What if Young has 44 touchdowns and 3 interceptions?
Yeah.
Now, you're not beating that. I don't care what you do on the defensive side of the ball. I bowed down to Al Eschbach when he voted for Ndamukong Suh. I think, but the Heisman fellas has become a joke. I mean, it just is. It's a popularity contest for the best quarterback. So I don't really care, but I do think that Anderson's probably the best player in the country. He's incredible, and they're good everywhere. I told you, I think you heard me on my show that Pro Football Focus does. They put out like the best players for the draft, and they did the safeties for the draft top 10, and 8 of them were from the SEC. By the way, the other 2 were from I believe Ohio State and Clemson, but 8 of them from the SEC, and 3 were from Alabama. So 3 of the top 10 safeties in the country are from Alabama. And I asked Al Eschbach this the other day, can OU ever get to that? You know, I mean, because that's what's going to happen, fellas. If they're going to go in there and win the SEC, they got to start getting players like that. Now, it does seem they're doing, you know, recruiting, which, by the way, if anybody ever says anything to you about recruiting in, like, May or June, just walk away from them, okay? Seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're talking about players that aren't going to be there for, like, 15 months. Oh, gosh, no, OU's doing that. Who cares? Now look at them. They turned it around, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, in the last month and a half, the recruiting on the OU side has really taken off.
Hey,
once
I want to –
again, too, OSU down low again. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Wouldn't you think, Thomas, that they would be able to coach some better players?
You would think so. I don't – but at the same time, though, it's – you can't argue with the way that they've been able to transform those guys and develop them when they get them on campus. Maybe they just kind of have a certain guy
they look
for. They're
kind of opposite Texas in a way.
Yeah, a lot that way.
Yeah, but you know what, though? What if they could get 10 4-stars in a class?
Yeah.
If they could get 10 4-stars, how good are they going to develop them?
Right.
Look, I think these stars are just stupid. But like Aaron always says, I'd rather have 5 5-stars than 5 3-stars. I mean, right. I mean, we know that. They're not always right. Matter of fact, they're wrong a lot. But I don't know. I mean, you would think that those facilities and a consistent head coach and winning, and they're definitely a top 20 program, are they not? They have to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd agree.
You know, so why is it that, well, I don't know, Al told me they're like 62nd right now. Now, it's early, so they might come on late. But I don't know. I just don't understand how they can't get better players. You're right, they do develop them. But they develop them, but are they going to develop them into winning a Big 12 championship and going to the playoff? I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
Hey, did you get a chance to watch Pittsburgh the other night? And if you did, what are your thoughts on Kenny Pickett? He looks solid in my eyes.
I think Pickett's really good. I think that whole thing with his hands were a little bit ridiculous. By the way, I believe Baker Mayfield has the same exact hand. Somebody told me that. But anyway, I think all 3 of them played really well. And you know me, I'm a Trubisky fan. So, and all Mason Rudolph has done off campus look great. Now, he's looked great, but I'm telling you, he's a backup quarterback. If he's starting, then your team, I just don't think you have a great chance. And I love the kid. Don't get me wrong, I love him. I just think he's a backup quarterback, which isn't that bad. I mean, you know, you make a bunch of money and do a great job. But, you know, I think Pickett is good. And let me tell you something, fellas. The Steelers have drafted a future star receiver. Have you guys seen anything of him?
Oh, that catch he made in the corner of the end zone was unbelievable.
But he's been doing it all camp. I mean, he's big time. They're going to be loaded at wide receiver. They got a great running back. I think the quarterback will be good. Their defense is really good. It's all about can they block anybody. And they went out and they revamped their offensive line, so we'll see. I don't know. They scored points, but it was a preseason game. Who cares? But all three of the quarterbacks look good. They're going to have a hard decision. I think Trubisky will start. I think that probably Pickett will have a clipboard with the regular clothes on the sideline for a while. I think Mason Rudolph will be the backup. And then we'll see what happens. If the Steelers get out of contention, then I think they'll play Pickett. But if they don't, I think Trubisky plays well. I think they'll just roll with him.
Okay, that's the first question to soften you up. But you did mention Baker Mayfield. Is there really a quarterback competition there in Carolina, or do you think it is his job?
Well, let me tell you this, fellas. If I thought about this morning, and I want you all to take your daggone OU boxer shorts off for a second and listen to me. If this was exactly opposite, okay, let's say Baker Mayfield got drafted by the Jets and Darnold got drafted by the Browns. You guys would agree that Baker Mayfield would have done nothing with the Jets. You would agree with that, right? I mean, because they stink. I hope you don't think that he would have had great seasons with the Jets. And then Darnold probably wouldn't have been as good as Baker Mayfield, because I think Baker's better than him. But he would have done a lot better than he would have with the Jets. So let's see the exact same thing. Let's say that Darnold was with the Browns. Baker Mayfield last year got traded to Carolina, was okay. If this was the exact opposite, every one of you would be crying, well, Baker Mayfield, he's with the team. He should be the first guy to get the chance. But since it's Baker Mayfield, everybody around here says the opposite. Let me tell you something. If Sam Darnold is well-liked, and I mean, you know, as a quarterback, they love him, and they bang him out of there, Baker Mayfield better be good, and those players are going to have an uproar. I promise you. Now, players know what's going on. They can watch what's happening in front of them. So if Baker Mayfield is definitely a lot better, then they'll be okay. I think Baker Mayfield is better than Darnold. But according to that game the other night, they both played well. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, Baker Mayfield's definitely the starter. Baker Mayfield got him in the red zone. He fumbled a snap. He threw two bad passes. They had to get a field goal. I mean, so I can take negatives and positives. Baker Mayfield had one great throw. So did Darnold. So I don't know, fellas. I mean, I think Baker Mayfield should start. But if he does start, he better play well. And, oh, by the way, their offensive line stinks. So Baker probably will be the starter. We'll see. According to Skip Bayless, he said that it's going to be the greatest signing in the history of the NFL. That's what he said today. Can you believe that?
That is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Oh, Skip. It's interesting, though, because for Carolina, being in the same division as New Orleans, it feels to me like the way that New Orleans built their offensive lines for a shorter quarterback in Drew Brees is exactly the way that you've got to do it with Mayfield. Be strong at the center and the two guards. That way he can step up in the pocket and not just have that in his face. Do you think there's any kind of logic to that way of thinking?
There is logic to that, but is Carolina right now saying that they think, do you think that they're saying they think Baker Mayfield's their quarterback for the next 10 years?
No.
I mean, do they? He
not
might
yet.
Be, but do you think they're saying that?
Not yet.
I don't. I mean, so I'm not building a team around Baker Mayfield right now. I'm waiting to see. Listen, if he goes out and has a tremendous year this year and looks good, absolutely, let's go for it. Give him a contract, build it around him, go. But if he doesn't, they drafted Corral last year. I mean, let me tell you something, fellas. If they're like 4-10 at some point, I'm probably going to play Corral, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm going to give the guy a chance. And by the way, don't forget now, Matt Rhule's job is on the line, so I don't think he really cares about who's going to play quarterback. He just has to win some games.
Yeah, you wonder if that doesn't lead to a shorter lease and then chaos if you can't decide on one guy and they're kind of a little bit of a merry-go-round there at that position.
You know what's going to happen, guys? Mark it down, too. Whoever's named quarterback, I would bet some money that the other one's going to say, I want to be traded. I mean, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there's reports last week they were shopping Darnold, trying to find a draft pick for him.
Yeah, well, if they believe Baker Mayfield's the guy, go do it. You know, I have no problem with that. Look, everybody thinks I'm so cruel to Baker Mayfield. I'm openly telling both you and everybody listening, and I'll say it on my show too, I think Baker Mayfield's better than Darnold. I do. Now, he's not better than some of the other quarterbacks that were drafted behind him, right? Like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, right? I mean, he's not even in their categories. Oh, you guys may disagree with that. You may think that he is, but
no.
You know, those one's won an MVP and one's gonna win an MVP. But Baker Mayfield, you know, listen, fellas, I couldn't have been any more right about Baker Mayfield. I mean, you think about it. I said he went to the worst place he could possibly go. Now all the OU fans are burning their Cleveland jerseys, right? then I said I thought he would be about a 7 out of 10. That's about right, isn't it? I mean, he's about a 7 out of a 10.
Oh, I think that's totally fair. The one thing that he did do that I think no one would have thought he could was win a playoff game in that short
amount
of time.
You're going to make me throw up because I was against the Steelers.
Hey, I want to ask you about the LIV Golf and Cam Smith, the penalty that Cam Smith incurred literally the next day after hitting it in the water on Saturday. They looked back at the footage and decided that he needed a two-shot penalty, which was the case. But if Cam Smith wasn't reportedly going to LIV Golf, would they ever have even looked at that video from Saturday there in Memphis?
Boy, that's I didn't really even think about the conspiracy theory that you're throwing out there right now. When I looked at it, the ball was touching the line.
Yeah,
I mean, so the rule was right. And the penalty was right. And, you know what I thought, guys? I don't know about y'all, but I was watching. I watched golf all day yesterday. When he birdied number one, I thought he is literally going to shove it you know where.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to say, really? Okay, you're going to give me this penalty the next day? I'm going to drop off a 63 and win the tournament. Of course, he didn't do that. I wanted him to. I love that kid. You guys like him? I love him.
Yes.
Did you hear how he responded? Because I guarantee I wouldn't have responded like this at his age. When they told him they were going to have to give him a penalty, he looked up and he said, hey, rules are rules.
Right.
That's unbelievable. I'd have been like, are you kidding me? The next day, this is weak, blah, blah, blah. But nope. He said rules are rules. So I hope he does go to the LIV Tour. I think it'd be funny. PGA Tour, they better figure it out. Because there's players that aren't playing. Who was it? Somebody got into it. Oh, I know it was who got in because other guys weren't in?
Ricky Fowler.
And then he shot great. It wasn't Ricky Fowler. He doesn't even belong in there, Ricky Fowler. He's not even good anymore. I wish I could remember. Was it the dude from Australia? You see great putts with a big with the big long putter. Come on, help me out.
Adam Scott?
I think it might have been Adam Scott. Somebody who shot great this weekend wouldn't even have gotten in if it wasn't for them kicking the LIV guys out. You see what I'm saying? Because there would have been, how many, like maybe was it seven guys, I think, from that they kicked out that wouldn't let play?
Lucas Glover, because he was 121 going into this week.
That's who it was. Lucas Glover. Yeah, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And then he shot great, and now he moved way up to like 58 or something, and I'll have a chance to go to Eastlake. But, yeah, I thought that was unbelievable that these guys get their chances when the other dudes weren't playing. And, by the way, Lucas Glover said, yeah, some of the guys couldn't play or didn't play. He didn't say anything about it. He just went on and just talked. I thought it was pretty good.
What would they have done, let's say that happened yesterday? Are they really going to go back and let's say Cam Smith did shoot 63, but hit it in the water on 4? What would they do? Are they going to go back today, the next day, and go, well, sorry about your luck, Cam. You actually got a 2-shot penalty for signing the wrong card and
Skinny,
get third.
Skinny, you've played a lot though, mm-hmm. right? Once the card is over, it's right when the tournament's over. It's over, is it not? Do you think they could take that away from him?
I wouldn't think so. But at this point, with the animosity that's building between the tour and the LIV, I don't think anything's out of the realm of possibility. I really don't, because I think it's great for golf because there's going to be a time here shortly, and we're probably already there, where golf needs some kind of rivalry because Tiger Woods is done. And this, I think, is almost a shot in the arm, I think, for golf because these guys, it does feel, for Scottie Scheffler to do what he did Well, I mean, I realize he didn't walk in his line, but you don't see that ever.
It was horrible.
See, and for a guy like that that seems to be one of the nice guys on tour, for him to be bothered that much, this feels like a budding rivalry between these two tours that can only help for viewership.
Well, and I'll tell you guys, I had a guy send a text in on Friday when I talked about that, and he goes, "He didn't walk right over his line. Please stop it, okay?" I mean, this guy was like, "I played tournament golf." Well, then if you played tournament golf, then you're an idiot, because you cannot walk. When a guy is lining up his putt behind his daggone coin, you can't walk between the coin and him. And it's ridiculous. You saw Cameron Smith's face. You couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I love Scheffler, and that's not going to change my mind on what I feel about him. But, boy, that was really weak. It really was. And, you know what it shows? The LIV Tour is winning, fellas. The LIV Tour is winning. For the number one player in the world to walk across that dude's line like that, that shows me that the LIV Tour is getting to these guys. Don't you agree?
100%. And I think the lawsuit is a big part of that, and it's just going to keep on going. I really, really think that the more things like that happen, the more that LIV gets, not respect, but it certainly is top of mind for a lot of people that would have never been paying attention to golf.
That makes it more legitimate, does it not?
Yes, I think so. I absolutely
think
so.
It's going to be interesting in the next few weeks after this playoff is over to see who's going to say they're gone. You know, it's going to be interesting. Although, Cameron Smith, now, where's he from? He's from England, right?
Australia.
Okay, that's right, Australia. He can play in the President's Cup, so maybe he waits until after the President's Cup. No, wait a minute. They're not kicking the dudes out of the President's Cup, right? They're just doing the Ryder Cup.
I think that's right now.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, so he can play either way. But you know what would be really cool one day, fellas, is for a LIV golfer and a PGA golfer to just throw their clubs down the ball right on the course.
I tell you, last week, one of my favorites of all, my favorite golfer of all time, Fred Couples, has never been a guy to get in any controversy. I mean, he's taken shot after shot at Greg Norman. It's amazing the emotions that this is bringing to the forefront of guys that have never said anything like that. I mean, you talked about it, nobody likes him, nobody's ever liked him. And in a lot of ways, I think Greg Norman is the perfect villain, if that's what you want to consider him, for LIV Golf. He's the perfect guy.
Definitely. And guys, go back and look at some of the things that were being said when the AFL and the NFL were going. It's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. Just back then they weren't as cruel, because back then people were a lot nicer than they are now. But it's the same thing. I mean, they were killing the AFL. And you know what they did? They merged. We'll see if this is going to be a merger. I don't know how they can merge. What do the Saudis get from that? They give all this money out, and then, is the PGA going to pay them off? You know? So, I don't know. I don't know if the Saudis want to merge. You said it from day one, Skinny. They're trying to, have people think better of them.
Yeah.
So, if they merge, then they're gone. So, I think they're going to maybe try to keep on going. Going to be interesting to see how many players want to go there. It really is.
Yeah, and if they ever decide maybe we need to add players to the field, because right now, I mean, at some point, you know, the musical chairs will stop at 48, and there'll be a bunch of guys, it looks like, that won't have a spot on LIV. And so I don't know if maybe it's a supply and demand thing that makes it more attractive that way. I don't know, but man, it's going nowhere.
Hey,
there's no doubt.
By the way, before I go, I said this before, I'll say it again. I am so sick and tired of listening to the announcers going, "What a great play." No, it wasn't. It didn't go in the hole. I mean, unless you're lagging from 80 feet and put it up there to 2 feet, yeah, that's a great point. But this dude can have a 14-footer, and they'll run it by the lip, and they go, "Oh, what a great putt." No, it was not a great putt. I mean, I'm so sick of these announcers. And you know what? With this LIV thing, it's almost like they're becoming even more a homer of what they say. They never say a bad word about it. Do they ever say a bad word about anybody or anything?
No. Yeah, he has no chance. A great shot here would be 20 feet, and they knock it up there to a gimme. It happens all the time.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. If you could put this within 20 feet, this would be a great shot. We've been doing it all the time.
Yeah. All right, what's coming up on your show today, Jim?
Well, a lot of the stuff that we talked about, I really want to get into that golf. How about Fernando Tatis? What an idiot, man. I'll tell you what, man. I love that the Padres came out and actually said some things. Normally, they just relax, and I love that they came out and just ripped into him. You know, I wish they would have done it harder. Unbelievable. I mean, think about all the players on that team. They're going crazy because they're bringing all these new players in. They're thinking, we're going to make a run for it, and then this dude's going to be gone. So, but he got hurt in a motorcycle accident or whatever, waited forever to get his surgery, and now he's been taking drugs. Golly, fellas. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. Hey, man, thanks so much for joining us. We're just we're one Monday away from really getting into football season. So, golly, I can't believe it's already here.
I hear you, fellas. Thanks, bro.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
It is the ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday. Lots of thoughts. I was a little disappointed he wasn't conspiracying with me.
Well, now you've put that thought in his head, yeah, so I can't wait for 2 o'clock.
It's funny.
Traber's take might be really good.
There's a Twitter account, and it fools me every time. Because instead of PGA Tour, it's got the logo and everything, but it's PGA TUOR. Obviously a parody account, right?
Oh, okay.
And I just looked up and I thought, no way. And then I realized it was this account. New reports are revealing that Cam Smith ruling was first called out by Scottie Scheffler. Scheffler reportedly saw it on TV and just wanted to be fair for everyone. Man, I love it. I love the animosity.
Yeah, it's great for us fans.
Absolutely.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a like a UFC night. PGA Tour versus LIV.
Again, I would pay for that pay-per-view.
I give the, you know, LIV, Bryson, Brooks, big old dudes. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening. That ball.